Around the NFL Podcast. Should probably take more HR classes.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Oh, yeah. Happy Monday, everybody. Have a nice weekend.
I did. I think that we fulfill all parameters that a human resources department would ask and demand in glowing terms.
That was a very, 96 FM start to a morning show. Start by, 7 a.m., hey, guys, how was the weekend?
Sometimes I feel like it's my destiny. In, 20 years, I'll be on some, Z Morning Zoo. Making a nice paycheck, hating myself privately.
We hung out yesterday.
We did. We did. That was nice.
Dan and I, pronouns.
Mark and I took the respective families to a little brunch. So four boys, ages what? Mine are 3 and 1. Yours are?
5 and 7.
5 and 7.
Full gamut.
We actually walked by, we all met up outside the restaurant, and we walked by one of those things where people are just giving away their stuff on the lawn, just take it says.
Very LA type giveaway.
Yeah, and no joke, Greg, there was a toolbox there. And I said to Mark, let's get this and give it to Greg on the show on Monday. And then we were in agreement. Good idea. Yep. On the way back, let's grab it. Came back. It was gone.
Well, and our kids were very...
Greg famously has never had a toolbox.
Never had a toolbox. And that got on the radar of all the children that could verbalize. Right.
I didn't pick up that toolbox.
Well, maybe you did. Why does this Greg person not have a toolbox? And it was hard to explain to kids the dynamics there. But
it was a conversation that lasted all the way into the restaurant. They could not wrap their head around it.
Because even Luke was like, I use a hammer. It's like, okay, well, there's, it's a lot happening here.
This is a big show, guys. Greg still doesn't have a toolbox, but we have a really good show for you today because it is time every year. The scientists, they go down to the lab and they come up bloodied and bruised, egos hurt, sometimes shattered, but they mend their fences at the end and they produce a top 101 free agents of the offseason. 2018 edition. So it's live on NFL.com right now. Go check it out. Does it have a vanity URL? It has to, Greg.
Top 101 free agents.
There you go. NFL.com/top101 free agents. And today's show, the guts of today's show, will be breaking down Wes and Greg's top 101. How did it go this year, by the way, between you guys? Because it does get sometimes a little bit combative. Where were you guys this year compared to other years?
Well, there's only 8 players worth grading, so the next 92 were more coin flip territory.
We were cool. It's it's still ongoing. Guys are getting cut today, and we're adding them to the list. We're coming up with some new players, and so
big debates on whether Pernell McPhee or Charles Johnson should be on the list.
So it's a never ending process.
Do you have any?
It does end, by the way, when free agency starts. We stop adding players. But while good players, and there's going to be many of them over the next couple weeks, get added to the mix, why not?
Do you have any issues with the editorial department that is frothing to get this thing out there, but it's at a time where so much news is churning, players are getting released, that you almost have to write the column twice because so many players get released over the next couple weeks that when does the work ever end?
That's just life in the big city.
Yeah.
It's the big leagues, Mark.
I just heard them complaining about it behind the scenes, so I thought I'd bring it up.
This isn't the USFL. This is the National Football League.
People want that list. A lot of excitement in the building.
A lot of pop.
Today.
A lot of pop in the building. So we'll get to that. But before we break down the top 101, we have some news to get to. And Lindsay Fault. Hey, Lindsay, are you a millionaire?
I do have some news on that, but we're going to save it for the next show because I'm working some things out.
All right.
It sounds like she's a millionaire.
Financial advisor. So.
Whoa.
Well, it sounds like almost certainly that our producer is a millionaire. So that's.
I think it's going to come in under a millionaire, but I think it's going to be.
Or she discovered she's quietly in a mountain of debt.
Because if she's multimillionaire, she wouldn't be here.
I'm not here right now.
Those aren't every listener, every show listeners might not know that Lindsay recently unearthed a large Bitcoin. collection of some kind. I'm not too familiar with what's going on with the Bitcoin industry, but I know it's a story right now.
One thing I've learned in my 44 years on this planet is that you do not need a financial advisor if you do not have money. So she's got to have some money coming.
All right, let's do some money.
Mommy, I've got a drug problem.
Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles, and by the way, that's just one of the many drops that can be found on gogetmylunch.org. Nick Fortier's fine, fine homage to the Around the NFL podcast. Here we go. Blake Bortles got an extension. Rap Sheet report. Rap Sheet, by the way, who's going to be on our show in Indianapolis. We're going to be at the Combine. We're all leaving tomorrow. We'll do two shows from Indy and then come on back to Cali. But Rap Sheet's going to be on Wednesday's show. Anyway, Jacksonville has signed quarterback Blake Bortles to a three-year contract. The team announced, Rap Sheet reported the deal is worth $54 million, including $26.5 million in guaranteed money. The new deal replaces Bortles' current contract. Had 1 year remaining on it. That 1 year, of course, was the fifth-year option of his rookie deal. Now, a lot of people getting all fired up, Wes. How can Blake Bortles get an extension? He stinks. The Jaguars should have been going after Kirk Cousins and jumping through their Super Bowl window. So now people think that they're doubling down on Blake Bortles, but maybe that's not quite the case here, is it?
This seems like more of salary cap management than a huge commitment to the quarterback to me. When I look at this, it's about freeing up money for this year and then at the penalty of, I believe it's $7 million to cut him if he doesn't work out next year.
And even that $7 million, it was reported this week, has offset language in it. So, for instance, if Bortles has a pretty poor season and the Jaguars cut him and some other team pays him $3 million to be their backup next year, that's $3 million less than they'd have to pay. It's much ado about nothing. I think they mismanaged giving him the fifth-year extension or option a year ago at this time, because when he got hurt, that locked him into 2018 in terms of being their quarterback. And I do wonder if they didn't have that option, whether they would have at least have poked around with Case Keenum or Bradford, or who knows, just looked around the quarterback.
Yeah, because he's expected to be ready for OTAs, but the injury was an issue. I don't think it stops them on any level for planning for the future. If they found a quarterback in the draft that they wanted to either maneuver their way up for or someone that fell to them, I don't think it prevents anything in terms of future planning. Well, how often do you give someone you view as a franchise quarterback a three-year extension?
Well, but I get what you're saying, but I think they did mess this up because they locked themselves in with Bortles, and I think a lot of people agree, and I certainly feel this, that Bortles is not the short or long-term answer for Jacksonville, and they should have been all in on Kirk Cousins, and that made so much sense, I thought, for both sides. And basically what they did, they punted on a Cousins pursuit. So I think they have lost here, but there's no reason to get nuts about the extension itself.
But aren't they pivoting off the mistake they made it's just pivoting off the fifth-year option mistake. I don't know if this... It compounds,
but just the whole thing, I don't think was handled well, is my opinion on it.
If I'm another AFC contender, Super Bowl contender, I'm happy about this.
Yes, it's great. And you could look at it more like, why would Bortles do this deal? If anything, it's a face-saving thing by the Jaguars. Hey, you wanted a better deal. You're our franchise quarterback. That is a tricky position. I mean, ultimately, he is their starting quarterback, and you have to support him publicly. But if you look at what he got out of the deal, it's an extra $500,000 or $1 million this year, and that's about it. If for some reason he keeps getting better, he's actually underpaid. Like, he got very...
Definitely not a franchise quarterback contract.
Right. He really got very little out of this, very little in terms of guarantees or in terms of a great contract. If for some reason he did get way better, that there really wasn't
right
much
with
of
all these quarterback contracts that have already happened and are going to continue to happen from Kirk Cousins on down, this is a total outlier.
And they cut Ivory, and this contract lowers their cap. What Wes said initially, that it was a cap maneuver. They took a lot off the cap for this season so that they can go spend some more money in free agency.
Here's another quarterback who is possibly not getting paid big money from his current team, Case Keenum. Actually, doesn't have a current team. He's going to be a free agent. And there was, people wondered, would the Vikings use their franchise tag on Keenum, who came off last year's amazing, very strong season behind center for the Vikings. But Minnesota will not use the franchise tag, according to Rap Sheet, per sources with knowledge of the team's thinking. Mark Sessler, your thoughts on Minnesota's move?
I think in the last, I mean, we're going to keep getting new waves of information about Kirk Cousins and where he might go. And I thought, you know, a week ago, the Jets with their, we're just going to throw money at you, seemed like they might be the lead dog if you could convince Kirk Cousins to care about the Jets in that way. But it sounds to me like the Vikings are absolutely making a genuine, preparing for a genuine push here. Gil Brandt tweeted today. He said, if I were a betting man,
did he?
I'd say that that's where he lands. Certainly interest on both sides. All I would say is that Gil Brandt, one of his closest friends is Bill Parcells, and one of the closest friends that Bill Parcells has is Mike Zimmer. There is a avenue of information there where Gil Brandt could know what the Vikings are thinking, and there's no buzz around Sam Bradford. There's no buzz around Teddy Bridgewater with the Vikings right now. They could bring Teddy Bridgewater back and still pursue someone else, but I think that Kirk Cousins, if he, the Vikings, we talked about last week, that's your attractive landing spot with Jacksonville out of the mix.
I like this avenue of information that our cartographer, Mark Sessler, just laid out here from old Parcells to Brandt.
Well, right, they are. They all know each
the
other.
Zimmer to
he
Sessler.
Knows Zimmer, too.
6 degrees of Gil Brandt.
There's a question whether Teddy Bridgewater, at least Pro Football Talk raised the question, whether he's even going to be a free agent. That's not even 100% settled.
In what, terms, the tolling?
Their,
in terms of the
their
team.
General manager has discussed that.
Yeah, to be fair, we've sort of forgotten about it on some level because we're listing him as a free agent because that's where he's listed. You didn't forget it?
No.
We didn't forget about it. We had discussions about it in the lab.
A little private me and Wes conversations downstairs. We'll get more into Keenum a little bit later in the show, I guarantee you. Moving on, the Marcus Peters trade from the Chiefs to the Rams that went down late last week or isn't official. It's official once the new league year kicks in, but it's happening. It's a done deal. Anyway, no one knew what the Chiefs got back in exchange for the number one cornerback. You expected it to be something steep and saucy. Not so much. The Rams send back a second and a fourth round pick, and the Rams, I believe, send back to KC a sixth round pick to get the deal done. So, Greg, the Rams land themselves a premier cornerback, and they didn't even have to give up a first round pick to get it done.
No, and I saw this, you know, draft pick haul that they got, and I thought, oh, that sounds about right. I see a lot of reaction that the Rams really snookered the Chiefs, and what a great deal. And it may prove to be. We talked about how much we liked Peters' fit, but in terms of just knowing that the Chiefs were fairly dead set on trading him, there's a report out there that they were trying to for the last 3 weeks. This sounds about what I would expect that they could get for Marcus Peters. He's not exactly a clean prospect if he was a NFL draft pick. You know, as talented as he is, I think it's telling that the two men who drafted him, who were there when he was drafted in Kansas City, Chris Ballard and John Dorsey, who are now running teams, didn't even investigate. They didn't want to trade for him at all. And I think the rest of the league knows that.
Right, because when it came out, it talked about the 49ers and the Browns also pursuing him, but it's come out later that the Browns absolutely did not pursue him. So the 49ers were maybe the other team out there that got out, they got out drafted, or out essentially the Rams, like outbid.
So
them.
No other team in the NFL would have given up a second and a fourth to get Marcus Peters.
The report was that they tried to trade him for 3 weeks, and this was the best offer they
got. Surprising to me.
Except the only thing is that, I mean, who knows what's going on behind the scenes? I mean, what we've seen overtly during that Jets game was a bit of an issue, and it's like, maybe it's just it's a lot to ask in a trade to bring him onto your
roster.
Wasn't
the first thing to come up between Marcus Peters and his coaches and the organization not being thrilled with him. That happened on and off, I would say, for three seasons.
When I look at this deal, it's a tacit acknowledgement that the Alex Smith, Marcus Peters, Justin Houston, Eric Berry, Tamba Ali nucleus of the past half decade maxed out early last October when they were 5-0, and they were never going to get any better than that.
And I think when you're trading for Peters, you're also understanding you probably are looking at paying him huge money or else the deal doesn't make sense, and that lowers his value. With all this said, I think it was a great move for the Rams that they get Marcus Peters essentially for 2 years and $10 million onto that team. I still like the move.
Moving on, the Carolina Panthers created some cap room, cutting veterans Charles Johnson and Kurt Coleman. Johnson has been there forever, drafted in 2007 out of Georgia. And, Mark, anything from these deals or these moves that surprises you or something that was expected? It seemed like this was something people had talked about happening.
I mean, Charles Johnson may be done with football at this point, and he barely played last year.
He looked done last year.
Yeah, and it's like with Coleman, he's about to turn 30. I think it's the like this, like we just about the Chiefs, they're moving on from some of the key players they've had. I don't know if Coleman, I would call him a key player, but they're getting younger at safety.
Yeah, two players in clear decline. Coleman was a Pro Bowl caliber player in 2015, played through some injuries in 2016, and was kind of a liability last year. Both players were liabilities last year.
Nice run for Charles Johnson, 11 years in one place.
Overcame a lot, too.
Got a huge contract right after the lockout. And that, I think that you're right, Wes. I bet that's probably it for Charles Johnson.
And finally, another some more roster housekeeping. The Bears released Pernell McPhee and Quinton Demps. Together, the move creates over $10 million in cap space, over $7 million connected to McPhee. McPhee signed a five-year deal worth almost $39 million in 2015, but cannot stay on the field, so they decided to move forward.
Bears are going to spend a lot of money. I looked at these two moves, which both happened on Monday, not as connected, but as two teams that could be competing for receivers in free agency. I think the Panthers are going to be looking at receivers, maybe Sammy Watkins. I think the Bears are going to be looking for receivers.
All right. That's what's happening in the news. Okay. Nice little appetizer. Some wings for the boys. Mark, we got you some...
Hummus,
or maybe some spinach dip.
That's fine.
Wait, so Mark's not included in the boys?
I think
No, you're the boys, but in terms of the appetizers,
the intro was inclusive of all, and then you dug down to what the menu items
maybe
were.
Maybe subconsciously, the wings is like, yeah, the boys.
Yeah,
let's
like the guys
wings.
Sit around eating meat.
Yeah, and there's vegetarian boy. That maybe that's what was that was coming from.
I think that's sort of where it came from.
Ultimately, what I was trying to do was be inclusive. But then my subconscious ratted me out. That's what happened there.
You tried.
So
your
my
conscience tried. Your subconscious revealed you to be a snake.
To be a villain. Anyway, so that was the appetizer. Now the main course. Oh, yeah. The free agency top 101. Countdown, baby. Well, it's kind of a count up, actually. Because you guys, you don't try to get too cute with this. You start at one, you take it all the way to 101, and good job with the branding. For the second straight year, it is 101. After that disaster in 2016, the top 99.
I think it's been 101 every year except for that one regrettable 99 year.
So it's never even been 100. It's either been 99 or 101.
It's kind of like... in like the 80s when Coca-Cola went to New Coke for that brief time.
They tried.
Yeah.
And it was a total boondoggle.
Yeah. It was a PR collapse.
Chastened.
And they scrambled back and said, no. This is Coca-Cola classic baby. We're back, baby.
It's when your boys, U2, made the album that just automatically downloaded onto your phone. And
that annoyed me. I couldn't get that thing off my phone for 19 months, and I finally had to deep search how to do it.
That was also, you could call that a major PR boondoggle, U2's Songs of Innocence album. Not their best work either, so a little double banging there upon society. Anyway, now, the top 101 NFL free agents of 2018, Wes and Greg, we're going to go down to the lab. Mark, do you want to come?
I'll join.
All right, we're all...
I mean, for some of it.
Yeah. Yeah, as Wes has said, I actually have access downstairs now. But I don't like to do that. I'm kind of like the everyman. I like to just...
The boys will go down to the lab, and maybe I'll join you.
But since this is
a special occasion,
special occasion, the spinach dip's going to come downstairs too. So let's go downstairs. Let's go. There we go. Everybody, watch your step.
Bring out the gimp.
Here we are. It's a little haunted.
Wait, has there always been a haunted?
Where's the hunchback?
We might have a a ghost situation. But that, don't worry about that. Here we are in the lab, and it's time to go through it all. Let's start. Let's get it going. How do we want to break this down? How do we want to talk about this, Greg? This is the type of stuff maybe you talk about before the show. But in this case, we're going to do it in real time. Pull back the curtain, open the kimono. Top 101, Greg.
Why don't we just start at the top? I mean, start with the big names, which somewhat we've talked about on this show. But our top five is Cousins, Breeze, Le'Veon Bell, DeMarcus Lawrence, and Ziggy Ansah. One thing that stands out to me, having been through the process, Allen Robinson ended up, I believe, at number five, ahead of Ziggy Ansah initially, and that really upset Chris Wessling. I mean, he was...
How upset?
Well, it didn't make any sense to me that a pass rusher in his prime averaging 13 sacks in his last two healthy seasons was behind a wide receiver who's not only coming off an ACL injury, but is given a free pass for an absolutely horrendous 2016 season.
He struggled. I think Ansah's... And I think in the end he's going to get franchise tag. Both of these guys might not even make it to the free agent market. Ansah's kind of underwhelmed over the last few years as a guy who's loaded up with a couple big games against some really poor tackle.
He had nine of his sacks in three games.
And a guy you watch week after week and you think, good run stopper, not a huge difference maker, and he's a little older than you would think coming off of his first contract because he was old entering the league. But he's still a solid pickup if you get him. There's no pass rushers out there.
I mean, assuming none of these guys through Allen Robinson get to market.
Well, Cousins is getting there.
Well, beyond Cousins, like what we're left with at number seven is our top free agent is an ominous
Sheldon
entry.
Wow.
Cousins is a free agent, though. Cousins,
I know, but with Cousins, we already dug so deep into the Cousins narrative that it's like,
wait,
here's the rest of the
guys. You are taking shots at the top 101 right now. I don't understand.
Not their work.
I think it's a good top 20 this year.
I think there's some solid names here. Because Cousins is legit. He's a legit number one.
That makes it, if you took Cousins out of this, what are you left with?
This is the weakest top 20 we've seen. Since
more problematic.
I don't know. We had Jarris Bird ranked number one 1 year.
We've got Teddy Bridgewater in the top 20.
We did. We do. And I do think Drew Brees is the forgotten man in this entire scenario. When I hear that he's going to accept between 20 and 25 million to re-sign in New Orleans, I just don't buy it. I don't see why he would take such a low deal. And I do think there's a decent chance he gets to free agency.
But it's not just insiders who have changed their tune. It's Drew Brees himself who has commented and said, I don't want the drama this time around.
Fair.
I just want to go for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that felt wrapped up to me. Do you feel like that we could be a combine in a couple days and there could be some sort of insane rumor that creeps out?
If Drew Brees is really dead set on helping out the Saints, essentially, that's what it'll take. But he's a guy who's been with the NFLPA. He's a guy who's always it's so undervalued for him to be making that sort of money that I think it's just complicated. But you're right. He's probably not going to go to another team.
It's that old question because you can't ever say, oh, he's made enough money. But Drew Brees probably has made enough money. But, I mean, you can't like, get after the guy if he says, oh, I want to max out because I know I probably don't have
another contract. Right, and I don't need to hear about helping out the rest of the team when you look at the money that Mickey Loomis and Todd Benton and the rest of this franchise has spent over the last X amount of years. Almost all of it has been poorly spent, and Drew Brees is by far the most important player in franchise history. It's just tricky because he's aging, and yes, he's not going to apparently hold them over a barrel.
I mean, it says in your write-up that he's a lead pipe lock to re-sign with the Saints.
Well,
we each write.
That would be my write-up.
Okay. Yeah. But it
sounds a little violent, but I like the energy around it.
It's fair.
that's old age gambling parlance.
Lead pipe lock?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to look that up in the Greg Jargon Index.
Greg uses it like four times a day.
I feel like lead pipe lock really old jargon?
I think it is. I feel like I've heard that.
It feels like something for someone that is, you know, trying to be on the lam from gambling debts. That's when the lead pipe...
Sometimes I'll be at the commissary with Greg, be like, oh, yeah, I'm a lead pipe lock for the grilled chicken sandwich today. It's like, Greg, stop using gambling parlance at the office. It's illegal. Moving on. You know who I think... all right, so you have Sheldon Richardson at seven. Mark, you were getting at that. If you... After Cousins, if Sheldon Richardson is the next truly likely guy to be really out there... I think it's come up on the show. A little surprising. Yeah. Maybe he's a top 10 guy, but maybe that's the market.
I think he's a guy who has the potential, at least, to be a big-time difference maker. And at the very least, he's helping out your team as a starter. I mean, when we look past him, let's say in the top 10, you're looking at a guy in Sammy Watkins who's coming off a very underwhelming year, has always been a little more hyped up than he has been productive. A guard in Andrew Norwell, who's certainly played well, but not a superstar. And Kyle Fuller, who in two of his four NFL seasons has been a net negative and has been really good and interesting in the other two. So none of the to make it to free agency, it's almost like you have to have something a little off with you. We had so many players in these, and there were a lot of guys Wes and I disagreed on, but they all had similar stories, which were they showed some potential and looked like great players at some point, but something's gone seriously wrong in between. And it's whether it's injuries for the most part, or it's poor production, or some sort of off the field red flag. Like something's gone wrong for most of these guys for them to get.
Well, Norwell's a good guy to bring up because, first of all, in this era, I don't know if it's indicative of a bigger situation, but every year it seems now we hear with the draft class there's not a lot of elite offensive lineman prospects, and then there's not a lot of guys that hit the market that don't have major red flags or age or injury concerns or whatever. Norwell would be a guy you would think is going to get paid huge money because it's such getting talent and young talent is it's such a premium right now. And in the case, and I'm looking at your write-up here, this could have been a situation of the Panthers just salary-wise tying up too much money already with their line. I want some Andrew Norwell. Give me him.
I think if he was a tackle, he'd be getting that Matt Khalil money. I still wonder what the market is for guards. Kevin Zeitler got paid last year, but I think he was regarded as a better talent than Andrew Norwell.
Norwell's a guy who shows the influence that Pro Football Focus has had. Now, when we're rating guards, what the hell do we know for the most part? We're basing it off of what we hear and what we read and what coaches say. Norwell got a second-team All-Pro.
Speak for yourself, but continue.
Norwell got second-team All-Pro almost exclusively off of his great PFF grade, I think is fair to say. I don't think the 50 Associated Press voters like Bob Costas were necessarily breaking down the Norwell.
Bob Costas is an AP voter?
He used to be.
That was such a
why did that have to happen?
Zigzag into a banging of Costas.
I'm just saying the AP, like Norwell's a guy who the Panthers basically chose Trey Turner was going to get their long-term money probably at guard last year. And I wish that we had, Mark and I wrote that free agent Fitz article. I should have put Norwell on the Giants, because the Giants have Dave Gettleman there who was there with Norwell and plenty of money to spend in a big-time need.
I put Norwell somewhere. I forgot where. Yeah. But, as we head into draft season, Andrew Norwell, first line, undrafted out of Ohio State. Give me a break with the draft.
I am...
So now we've banged the Associated Press voting and the draft.
Yeah, for
throw
sure.
The draft.
I think he'll get paid a lot because there's been a lot of sub-Pro Bowl guards that have been paid about $8, $9 million a year when they get to free agency the last few years, and Norwell seems to be at least at or maybe even above that level.
You're 11 to 16.
I would go 11 to 16.
Super saucy. We'll start with Keenum, who you have at 11 here, and I think this is interesting. I actually looked up your that disastrous top 99 list from 2016, just to see, because there is that connective tissue between Case Keenum and now Ryan Fitzpatrick coming off his one big year with the Jets. You had Fitz at 23. You have Keenum at 11, which makes sense because Keenum seems to have a higher ceiling. He's younger, but at the same time, a lot of question marks still.
Right.
Number 11 on this list.
And Fitzpatrick certainly didn't live up to that ranking.
Did not. Got 1 year, $12 million from the Jets. Keenum will get a multi-year deal, right?
Yeah, I would think so. And Keenum is the guy who played like a top 12 quarterback last year, but he's also the guy who got benched for Jared Goff the year before and was terrible. He was also the guy who the Rams dumped twice and then re-signed him. He's all of those guys, so you have to evaluate all that. He's a guy like a lot of quarterbacks in this league who is almost wholly dependent on his surrounding talent and coaching.
And when we talk about each of these players, whoever's here has something wrong with him. It's more his history predating this past season, because if that were your lone sample size, people would be chasing after him, but I think people are still spooked by the idea of giving him a more than a one-year deal or a two-year deal.
Well, as I said before the show, 2017 is just as gone as 2014. None of these seasons mean anything next year.
He's someone I think that's always been probably a little better if you look back at than his reputation, even with the Texans, for instance, that if you compare him to the other quarterbacks that played in almost each one of his spots, he generally played better than those other quarterbacks. So you're right, it's kind of about the situation brought him down, but he can be a good player, obviously, in the right system. I mean, he was a free agent last year. He wasn't even on our list
right.
a year ago, and he didn't get signed for a month, and it's because he doesn't have a huge arm. I don't think he has like the anticipation that you normally like to see. I don't think people think of him as necessarily.
He's not viewed as a durable guy either.
He's not viewed as like he's Tom Brady on the field, like breaking. I mean, no one's Tom Brady on the field, but like that he's necessarily he's an instinctive player, not necessarily reading the entire defense and winning before the snap.
It's just telling to me too when a team like Minnesota, if you knew you could get Case Keenum to do the same thing next season that he did this past season, you wouldn't have a problem having that happen again. And there seems to be very little interest in bringing him back.
You love Kyle Fuller. I want to point out before we get out of the top 10. Chris Wesseling really is into Kyle Fuller.
Yes,
big Fuller. You got a full on. You know what?
Yeah, like you said.
You know what? What do you mean? What?
I don't know. Just the love for Kyle Fuller.
Well, like you said, he's had two really good seasons, and he's had two seasons that were affected by injury when he's been healthy. And this was one of the philosophical disagreements that Greg and I have. If I see a guy play well when he's healthy, mm-hmm. I'm willing to take a chance on that upside versus a guy who's just average at his best, but he's durable and you can rely on him. I want the guy with the upside.
Yeah, I think – I mean, I do too. We just disagreed on who has – upside and who doesn't. Fuller's had a season where he's been healthy and he's lost his confidence and he's struggled, but I still had him in my top 20. I think there's very few young cornerbacks that you know could start and could help your team, and that's why I had him as a top 20 guy. You like the rest of this saucy top.
I will take a little bit of exception. Fuller, we just talked about him. Two good years, two questionable years. Malcolm Butler, okay, maybe he wasn't that great this year, but two very good years before that. Entering his age 28 season. At number 12, I feel like he's a top 10 free agency guy. How did he fall out of the top 10?
Well, I've talked about this many times. Malcolm Butler, the Patriots told us what they thought of him. And I'm not talking about the Super Bowl. I'm talking about the fact that he was never used on number one guys. That he was.
Well,
would play Logan Ryan in a safety over the top against prototypical number one receivers, and then as soon as Stephon Gilmore got there, they would play Gilmore on prototypical number one receivers.
Certainly depended on the matchup. I mean, he famously would be the guy who goes against Antonio Brown.
Right, if it's a smaller, quicker guy.
Smaller number one.
But nobody's putting Malcolm Butler on Julio Jones.
No, but that's true.
Okay, so he's not like a first-team all-pro lock every year. But
no, he's not a number one corner.
It's going to make a fortune.
I think the way that he played in 2015, 2016, I don't know if there are more than five or six number one corners by that definition. I think he was a top 10 to 12 cornerback where he was a big-time difference maker if you use him the right way and you match him up with the right people. And I don't know if there's more than five or six cornerbacks who are like beyond that where you're just like, that's the guy.
I think we could name more than five or six off the top of our heads. You're talking about guys like Darius Slay, Casey Hayward, Patrick Peterson, Richard Sherman.
Also some of the highest paid guys in the league. I think Butler will get paid, though. He will be somebody that somebody will value, maybe pay as a number one, even if he isn't quite that.
He is someone that will get, I think, knocked a little bit for his, like the guy, when you don't get drafted high, I think it keeps hurting you throughout the process because so many teams hold on to how they felt, and they're just like, this guy's not really that talented. We saw him as an undrafted guy. The Patriots helped make him look better, and I think it'll knock him. Like, for instance, the next guy I believe on the list is Trumaine Johnson, right?
Yeah.
And I think Trumaine Johnson, if I had to put a sandwich on it, will get more money than Malcolm Butler.
I mean, also, I don't know if coaches should care at all, but like the most notorious benching that we've seen in the last like 5 years, Super Bowl Sunday, Malcolm Butler, does that not affect how people?
I've joked about it, but I'm kind of serious too. Like the Patriots did him absolutely no favors.
Not at all.
So not only does he have that undrafted stink on him, if you want to call it that, he also has this like character concern of on some level coming off a Super Bowl benching could affect his market. It's fair. You have Teddy Bridgewater and Sam Bradford back to back 15 and 16. I guess, how do you guys do this? Because I know, Wes, we just talked about it on the last show, you think that Teddy Bridgewater is a massive question mark and no assumption should be made. Greg, you believe he is the next Joe Montana. So how did you figure this
none
out?
None of this is true. You just average out the two rankings. So
Greg had Teddy Bridgewater number one.
So you, have 30.
You had him like 30, yeah. 31st.
Yeah. I was surprised to hear how down Wes was, and I get that he's pointing out his inconsistencies, but I was heartened to see that Wes clearly saw some upside in Bridgewater because you still had him as a top 20 player. Wes had him 20th. I had him 9th on my list.
Is that a commentary on this list?
Yeah. I told you there's only 8 players this year in free agency.
Because 20 to me shows at least you think you would think he has a chance to help you as a starter at some point. Because otherwise, why would he be that?
Best case scenario, he has a chance to be that guy. Now, I think there's very little chance we're going to ever see best case scenario with Teddy Bridgewater.
Quarterback definitely gets a little bit of a bump because of the position and because of their scarcity.
They should. I mean, he's a boom or bust scenario. For me, though, we could do this for the next 500 years, and you will never again have a scenario where 3 quarterbacks from the same team rank top 16 in this exercise. That is one of the most peculiar, sandwiched around 2 defensive backs from the Rams. It is one of the most peculiar scenarios of any free agent class ever.
Well,
very odd.
If you're measuring that it has to be the 2 defensive backs,
I don't care about the
team.
Forget that part.
That is
really
unique.
I find it so strange.
It is bizarre, and it shows how valuable quarterbacks are. Because Sam Bradford, in theory, is a huge red flag, and Bridgewater has huge red flags, but because they play quarterback and because they've been pretty solid fairly recently, it's like they're worth taking a chance on, at least over, you know, some other guys. When you look at the guys who are behind them on the list, let's say like Nate Solder or Bashaud Breeland, who certainly have potential. I mean, those guys have been healthy and been below average starters at their positions at some points.
If you go back and watch week 1 of last year, you would have Sam Bradford in your top 5.
Yeah. He had I do the QB index during the season, and that wound up as the second highest graded game by any quarterback all season. And I remember thinking early on, like, wow, that was crazy that Sam Bradford has this score from that game. Like, I hope I'm not just like overrating because it was the first week. And ended up holding up. I think 1 Aaron Rodgers game beat him.
I mean, he still has coaches around the league that love him too.
That game was one of the best ball placement performances I've ever seen. Everything was just right on the receiver's hands in stride. It was breathtaking.
Mark, anything from, let's say, 18 to 24 you want to bring up? Or do you want to shoot ahead to the top 30?
I think it'd be interesting to see what happens with Kenny Vaccaro at 24 because it sounds like he's been linked to the Cowboys forever and that they want to pay him a lot of money, potentially. Do you think that he's going to be worth that money? He seemed like pretty streaky in New Orleans. Good season, bad season.
I feel like the Cowboys have had safeties coming out of their ears the last year or two, and they need cornerbacks.
Yeah, he's a guy that I think the Saints never knew totally what to do with and eventually grew frustrated with him. So that's not a good sign for a young player. But he's also a very versatile player who can cover, who can hit. Like, you look at, he's the type of guy I think gets overpaid in free agency because, like the draft, he's a very toolsy type of guy that some team will look at and think, all right, we can make him into a star. Like, Greg Williams, I feel like, would love him some Kenny Vaccaro. Like, that's a Greg Williams type of player.
I think he's gotten so much credit for his versatility, but probably not enough criticism for his coverage problems.
Yeah. How about this? What kind of contract do you give Jimmy Graham?
1 year?
Like 2 years at most, right?
This is one of the guys that Wes and I disagreed on the most. Maybe we could go through a few of them.
Sure.
But Wes had him ranked number 18 on his list, and I had him 40 or 38 on my list. Because at this point, he's kind of just a guy I don't want on my team. It just feels like there's at least a 50% chance he's just going to fall off a cliff and not really help you much at all.
He needs to go to the right situation to not disappear entirely.
He's 1 year removed from a 923-yard season in an offense that didn't feature him.
He's someone that it's kind of just watching him using the eye test that he's lost so much quickness off of where he was. He's almost tough to watch running routes now that he reminds me a little more of like a Jason Witten type. And when you have a guy who can't block and has that kind of lack of movement, it's like a guy whose career I think could end earlier than you would have expected.
I mean, why not back to Seattle? They don't have a ton at tight end right now, and they did kind of find a way to unlock him in the red zone at least last year. Had a couple good games.
Yeah, that's a good question. I just feel like they haven't maximized him in Seattle. And I think guys like this are tricky. Like Greg said, he hasn't moved as well. We were saying the same things about Antonio Gates in his early 30s, that he was on the decline, that he wasn't moving as well, coming off of some foot injuries, and then he bounced back with a huge season and looked fast again. You just never know with guys.
In the 30s.
I've heard some buzz on Graham to the Bears, where Ryan Pace is, former Saints guy.
In the 30s, two buy low guys that could have value, I think. Vontae Davis coming off the cornerback for the Colts, coming off two injury-plagued seasons. And we've talked about him a little bit already. Tyler Eifert, the tight end, another guy with injury history. But probably won't cost you a ton, either of those guys, and then the payoff could be big if they bounce back, stay healthy.
That's a good point, because if these guys weren't coming off an injury, if they both played 16 games last year, I think they're both top 10 on this list.
Right. Eifert's maybe the biggest X factor in the entire list, because it's not just he's coming off an injury. He is an injury. He's been injured his entire career. Three out of 4 years.
He's a literal injury?
If he wasn't so good in that one season, his career would basically be over, because you don't see NFL players survive not essentially missing 3 out of 4 seasons. He's played 10 games in the last 2 seasons. He's played 24 his entire career, and almost in more than half of those was in one season. So in 3 out of the 4 seasons, he's essentially given you nothing, and he's got persistent back issues, which is a tough thing to overcome. With all that said, when he was out there, he was probably a top 2 or 3 tight end. So there's like no way to know what he is, but the fact that the Bengals are kind of done with him doesn't speak too well, I think.
You guys have Trey Burton two spots ahead of Eifert, and Burton, of course, kind of got locked behind Zach Ertz in Philly, and he's a guy. So it's interesting, if you are in the market for a tight end, those two
guys.
That's a decision to make there, because Burton is more untested, but seems to pass all the smell test of it all, that he could be a guy that steps into a bigger role. Eifert has already proven it, but is all banged up.
He didn't get locked behind Zach Ertz on the Philly special.
Oh!
Oh, yeah!
Which, by the way,
go Sessler,
has been trademarked now.
Well, there's been filed claims. 8 different groups have filed for trademark for the Philly special, including the Eagles.
I feel like the Eagles should potentially be the front runner there.
They were the 8th to file the trademark.
Come on.
Which is stupid. If you have that play in the bag for the Super Bowl, you file that before the game.
Well, the Patriots have named plays filed them pre-Super Bowl. They know what they're doing.
Because I don't know the business, the trademark business. Don't add us trademark lawyers, but like... Yeah, do it. And then that way, if it's a matter of like first come, first serve, get off me. I've already trademarked this.
I love the idea.
I think you could ask
Riley
where their brain are, you know, what if that they're thinking about trademarking a potential trick play.
No, you put your version of Ernie Adams on the legal team like 2 weeks ahead of time.
Yes.
And say, get on this.
Yes. Moving on.
Isn't their version of Ernie Adams one of Greg's good friends?
Well, that may be a stretch, but I'm not sure what the job responsibilities are.
Look, Greg's all sour in the face about that guy.
No.
Any comments, Greg?
No comment.
No comment.
Can I say
real no comment there?
One player that we skipped over here.
Yes.
Talk about an X factor. How about 29? Deion Lewis. I can't wait to find out where he winds up.
Are you just queuing up West to just crap
no, because
all
I think
poor
like,
Deion
I,
again?
No, because it's like
give me
we
a
talked
chance,
about
Wes.
Him. It's like
I can do it.
Use
wait,
of a
I spent
back.
3 years building him up on this podcast.
I know. That's
me.
Why the heel turn on Deion
is not even
so
a heel
stunning.
Turn. It's just evaluating a player.
So you don't feel like he would fit almost anywhere else?
I think he would fit great in a lot of places as a role player, as a complementary back. I would not want to count on a guy who's injured as often as Deion Lewis and is undersized to be my main workhorse.
He's like, come on, you put me behind John Brown. John Brown hasn't done anything the last couple of years, and he's been on the field.
Here's another
put
guy.
Put me behind E.J. Gaines.
Well,
come
that
on.
Would be like ranking Deion Lewis in 2004.
How does he sound like Jerry Seinfeld?
I don't know.
Ranking John Brown
what's
low
the
now
deal?
Would be like ranking Deion Lewis in 2014 low. You rank the talent, not the most recent season.
Listen, as someone that pounded the table for Lamar Miller in free agency, I know how these guys are going to perform with their new teams, and Deion Lewis is going to do it.
Saw that Lamar Miller might get cut.
I know. Ouch. Here's a guy I think you guys have been a little bit unfair with in the blurb. I don't know which one of you wrote the blurb, but Jordan Matthews at 39. You wrote, he proved in Philly he can produce out of the slot with 225 catches in his first 3 years. He proved in Buffalo he's not talented enough to transcend problematic surroundings. Now, nice piece of writing, I like the sentence. However, the guy was banged up from day one there. Literally day one, he jacked up his finger, never was healthy. I almost look at that year as a wash, and he's still, to me, a guy that has some real potential.
He's too high for me. Even at 39, he's too high for me. I think he's a major injury risk going forward. He's been limited to the slot in his career, and he's not an outside receiver. I'm not wild about Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, Jordan, I wrote that, by the way.
Okay.
But I had him a little higher than Wes. I think the fact that the Eagles even traded him and I don't think they really saw him as a guy who's going to be a huge difference maker, that he was a nice kind of piece to the puzzle. He had production of a top receiver, but I think they saw him more as a three or a four type.
Yeah.
Put him in the slot, he's fine. But I think they love that trade for them. They got Nelson Aguilar on the field, who I think did things that Jordan Matthews could not.
Brent Grimes at 35. At 43, he's heading toward his age 35 season. Is this any fear that 43 is not high enough for Miko, who might come after you guys in a big spot? She probably thinks he's top three.
I think Greg wrote the write-up here, if I'm guessing. And
no,
he,
no, this
really?
Is West territory. Okay. West, did you have any apprehension?
Miko Grimes did not cross my mind when I was writing this. And
ouch.
As I've said before.
You heard that, Miko.
I just battled the big C. I'm not afraid of Miko Grimes.
He was one of the guys randomly that we agreed on the most. We had them almost identical in our rankings in the early 40s. And so
yeah, it's
we
like,
were on the same page.
Do you want 1 year of a quality cornerback, or do you want several years of a guy who's coming off injuries, who's young and hasn't realized his potential? To me, it just speaks like at some point you just want the guy you can plug in there and play and not worry about the next 3 or 4 years.
He was right next to on my personal list, but he's much lower on the overall list, Star Lotulelei, or as Dan likes to call him.
Latalasale.
who was a guy, and that was one where I struggled with, was like, he's a young player who's played a lot of snaps, but is anyone actually sure that he's been any good at any point in his career? Like, has he even been an asset, or has he been a negative? And this is one where I'm admittedly influenced by the Pro Football Focus grades, because I haven't seen Lotulelei make a huge difference, especially not the last year or two, and they've buried him in their grades. And I'm thinking, like, just because he's a first-round pick and we know his name doesn't mean we have to rank him that high.
Well, I think his problem is he's made as many impact plays in his typical season as Sheldon Richardson made last season, which is not very many.
I want to read my favorite blurb, if you guys don't mind.
Please.
Okay.
And let me find it first. And I'm really excited to read it.
You want me to just, like, start talking about Terrell Pryor or something?
You want to vamp?
If you want.
Yeah, vamp for a second.
Terrell Pryor in our top 10 last year, by the way. Took a big big dive down to 33. Although that was higher than I think I had him or that I thought he would go.
That even feels generous.
That feels pretty generous. I think if we had, and in time will tell, I think we ultimately were pretty high overall on some very risky wide receivers that haven't produced in the last year or two. Him, John Brown, Dante Moncrief, guys who I feel like if they were at other positions, maybe they wouldn't have been ranked as high, but we've seen them be difference makers.
Like Terrell Pryor at quarterback, not so high.
Yeah, right.
I wanted Terrell Pryor higher. He's still the guy who gave fits to a lot of really good cornerbacks in 2016.
Browns want him back. It's a mysterious free agency twist, but...
at number 49, Lindsay, can I get something a little sexy?
Oh, no. I know which one this is.
Josh McCown, quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Red flag injury risk entering his age 39 season. McCown is perhaps most valuable as a wet nurse for a talented but raw young stallion.
Wes.
And you start writing these one after the another, and all of a sudden...
What was happening in your world?
It gets late at night, and
well, right.
Like,
all
right, these things are bleeding into... I just got to, like, spice it up a little bit.
Wes, I know that...
Oh, like, spice is the right word.
Yeah, spice. I know we don't put our, you know, names on each one of these blurbs, but just...
That's Wes.
That one deserved a little CW.
Yeah, would you object if I asked the editors to just, you know, let everyone know that that was you?
Go for it.
I like it. Well, whether it's good or bad, I will tell you it stopped me in my tracks.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you read, immediately the mind brings visuals, and they're very disturbing with this sentence.
Well, it might get a little monotonous reading 101 blurbs, you know, if I'm thinking of the reader. Reader
sets
it down, yeah, throw a little spice in there.
Josh Cowan, father of like three young boys, now doubling as a wet nurse for a raw young stallion.
That is, look, that is figurative.
Use protection. You're right.
This is getting off topic, but if you were going to make like a top 10 list of NFL players who just kind of have the look of a guy that might be in a pay cable after 1 a.m. type of movie.
Where are you going with this?
I feel like Josh McCown kind of has that
look. Josh McCown could have, if he weren't Josh McCown and he were like the seventh biggest person on Mad Men with his hair and his jawline. Yeah. Totally fit.
Can't you see him like knocking on the door and he's just like delivery?
Honestly, I see him the opposite direction. If he wasn't an NFL quarterback, he would be the guy with the acoustic guitar at the church, like playing music for kids and stuff.
Mm. No doubt about that. But that bleeds into his actual image, I think, on some level. Yeah.
Shout out to Prince Amukamara, who's ranked 48th on the list for the fourth straight year. Weirdly.
Is he?
No, I made that up. But he's a free agent every year. He signs a one-year contract. He's solid, and he ends up like in our top 50. He ends up between like 35 and 50, literally every year.
Why couldn't you just read that blurb? That was a better one.
I liked your blurb, Wes. Let's skip to the end of the list. You can check out the whole list again at NFL.com/top
101 free agents,
Thank
I believe.
You. I always like the end of the list. You have... Frank Gore, The Inconvenient Truth, sitting at 100 and at 101.
Oh, no.
Can we get a drum roll? At 101. Always a lot of fun. Who gets put the final man? Usually it's a bit of an in-joke. Jay Cutler! Congratulations, Jay.
Wes just made a face like bile came up in his mouth or something.
There was a discussion on Twitter in which Evan Silva was included, and he ranked him in his top 35, I believe.
Silva!
And his reasoning was...
Big fish.
His reasoning was, if he gets signed, Silva's formula is, I rank guys on what their average annual contract would be.
That's a different... Yeah,
and my different retort to that would be, the average annual contract of zero would still be zero. He doesn't belong on your list.
Ouch.
Nobody's going to sign him.
Ouch. Jay's probably heading back to the booth. Maybe Jay, yeah.
Back. Was he ever there?
Well, you know, he's got agreement to go to the booth again.
He had a conference call, didn't he? About his
broadcast? Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I know he had a deal with Fox, right?
Correct.
Is Fox doing Thursday Night Football this year?
They are.
Yep.
Interesting.
Wow.
He was going to be part of a three-man booth.
I think it's going to happen now. If I could put a sandwich on it.
Yeah.
Cutler Thursday nights.
My aversion to Cutler on the field might not extend to the broadcast booth. I mean, if he's good right off the bat, let's put him on.
Well, he at least deserves a completely clean slate.
Absolutely, yeah.
I feel like it's a career. I don't know, kind of a cherry on the sundae here to get to the one. I feel like it was his whole career was kind of a preamble to this moment. He's destined for this.
I would agree that being ranked 101 is probably the highlight of his football career.
And you guys made a lot of people happy. No Colin Kaepernick on this list. Hope you feel good about yourselves.
Well, it's funny you say that.
Yeah.
We overlooked him, and he's going to be on there. We have a lot of people we're adding. Pernell McPhee is coming on there. Kaepernick. Yeah.
Where did you rank McPhee in 2015 before he utterly flamed out with the Bears?
I think he was in
our top
15 or so.
Yeah. McPhee will be in the 80s. Kaepernick was 76 last year, and we just do the list based off – players who were on teams last year. We kind of forgot about him, so I think he's going to...
Greg, is LeGarrette Blount at 93 simply as an act of anger out of you because he left your team and wiped you clean?
He's a lead pipe block for a Lombardi.
93. I know you guys don't like LeGarrette Blount, but that is a little absurd to me.
Wes had him a little higher than me, but he had him in the mid-80s, so they weren't too off.
Nobody signs him until July every year.
Real quick.
He doesn't play third. He doesn't play third down.
That's what it is. Real quick, before I want to just check in with one more thing. What? Breaking news? Greg, I swear to God.
The Cleveland Browns have claimed wide receiver Larry Pinkard via waivers from Jacksonville. Pinkard, 6'0", 196 pounds, entering his second season out of Old Dominion, originally signed as an undrafted free agent in 2015.
You son of a bitch. You sandbagging son of a bitch.
I thought something real happened to the Browns.
Greg just wasted our time.
That was real. That's from their official press release.
In fact, I was going to ask Greg to give us one more player. I don't know if we have time. I might have just messed up the time element of the show.
Time's ticking.
But
oh, yeah.
I'll be cool about it. Greg, do you have one other guy you want to bring up from your top 101?
I'll bring up Paul Richardson because I think he and Mark Easley are two intriguing young receivers that are coming off of their best seasons and I think could both make a lot of money this year.
Wes, how about you?
I am searching.
All right.
Paul Richardson to the Chiefs. Book it.
Mm, saucy. Just to circle back to last year's 2017 top 10, how that shook out in terms of guys that made an impact or did not. The list last year was Alshon Jeffrey at number one, Calais Campbell at two. Guy almost won defensive player of the
year.
You
guys are off to a good start here.
Brandon Williams, the defensive tackle stayed in Baltimore at three. Dont'a Hightower at four. Injury wiped out his season. A.J. Bouye, Texans cornerback. He signed the big deal with the Jaguars and did his thing. Stephon Gilmore started off shaky in New England.
Good free agent prop so far.
And then had a big close to his year. Kevin Zeitler signed with the Browns. How was Zeitler? Nothing really was good with the Browns last year. But
I mean, Zeitler, according to – I don't – judge right guards, but he, you know, PFF, he had a nice mark. Okay. He wasn't the issue. They had other issues.
They did. You're
they had
right.
other issues above Kevin Zeitler. Let's put it that way.
Number eight. Here's the first miss, but what are you going to do? Adrian Peterson, who I asked Greg downstairs, is he on your current list? He's still under contract with the Cardinals. It was a two-year deal he signed with the Saints. He'll probably get cut. Will he find his way on your top 101 if and when he is released?
I wouldn't put him on.
I would definitely put him on. He had several games last year that told me he can still play.
He is going to be 33 next year. Number nine, Terrell Pryor. So he dropped quite a bit.
That's my pick. That I'm doubling down on Terrell Pryor. I think people are writing him off for a bad season with Washington. But I thought he really played well with the Browns the year before.
He was also – I mean, he was dealing with injuries all last season.
Yeah.
My question with him might be more character-driven, the fact that the Browns, for whatever reason, were totally cool with letting him go and then signing Kenny Britt. And then in Washington, things going sideways as well.
Well, they offered him money. Like, he thought his value was going to be much higher, and he was wrong.
I think it's fair. It's fair to question some of that stuff.
Dontari Poe was your number 10 last year. And
he was solid. He was solid for the Falcons.
And I'm looking at the rest of the top 20. Andrew Whitworth, he had at 17. He was certainly a top five guy at the end of the year. So there you go. Check it out. There it is. How fun. You guys did it again. Let's go upstairs. Let's go to the kitchen. Daddy's going to cook some dinner.
Are you going to let Mark have any?
Yeah, a little spinach dip for Mark.
I don't even like spinach.
A little spin dip, as they call it on the TGI Fridays.
What did you have at brunch?
I had pancakes and some hash browns on the side.
Nice choices.
What did you have? You had a burrito.
I got the burrito.
You and my wife started eating the wrong burrito.
Yeah, it was a moment we had. It was like, did you take my burrito? I think I did.
Born on the same day in the same year.
Do you want it back? Okay. This is so us. This is so us.
I just missed you guys. I was at the Overland Cafe yesterday afternoon.
That's where we were.
Is that where you were?
Yeah, that's where we were.
Yeah. The Paramore and I went, but we didn't get there till about 3 because she had to work.
That place is funny because the reason we went is because they have the bottomless mimosas. Mm. And if you get there with your kids like we did, you have to get there early because, kids are annoying. But then when you're in there and all of a sudden it's 10:30 or so, all like the Kardashian clones start rolling in.
Yes.
And they're Ubers and they're all wearing ridiculous sunglasses and belly shirts and everybody's flying high looking to get messed up. It's kind of a fun LA scene.
There were multiple women posing against the side of the building when we pulled up.
Well, no, that's the scene. But we had to be out of there by, kids give you, got about maybe 62 minutes tops with them. So
that was essentially, yeah, the meat of the event was we poured back a few glasses of champagne. One of the great societal curveballs, by the way, just like, or little winks. It's like, yeah, you could drink champagne at 9 a.m. Just drop a little orange juice in there. Society's fine with it.
Our household paid for it afterwards dearly. Everyone crashed.
All right. So we will be back on Wednesday. Yes, from Indianapolis, from the Combine. We go there. We love covering the press conferences of the coaches and GMs. That's why we're there. We're not there for the Underwear Olympics. So we'll do a show on Wednesday and then another show Thursday.
Wasn't that where Greg ended Steve Smith's Panthers career?
I was, with a heat-seeking question of Dave Gettleman.
I wouldn't say I ended it, but...
Be accountable, Greg.
Sure.
It was the opening chapter of the end.
So, yes, make sure you tune in. It's going to be a fun week for us. That's it. Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman who delivered. Hey, Stallion, man, own it. I liked it. I was in.
Wet nurse,
baby. The old boss and Lindsay Fulton behind the glass. Till Wednesday.
When I worked at the grocery store, there was this redneck couple. The woman weighed about 300 and the guy weighed about 130. And she used to beat him up and steal his paycheck every 2 weeks.